La 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 ho.
Thank you, choristers. Let us rejoice and celebrate being together this beautiful winter morning. I'd like to welcome you to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. My name is Christine Leffler, and I'm so happy to be your lay leader today. All are welcome here, no matter what your beliefs are, the color of your skin, or who you love. You are welcome here. You are welcome no matter how you like to celebrate the season, whether it's lighting candles of Hanukkah or the candles of Kwanzaa, burning a Yule log, or plugging in your Christmas tree lights. You may celebrate this time of year by eating latkes or fruitcake, or maybe you prefer to pop some popcorn and cozy up with Hallmark Channel's heartwarming holiday movies. You are welcome here. This is our annual Chorister Holiday Service, and you are in for a musical treat today. And instead of a sermon, there will be beautiful songs and readings. I invite you to listen to not only the words and the notes, but the spaces between the words and the notes. The white space on the page has much to say. Can you hear it? I have a couple of announcements for you today. This Tuesday is the Darkest Night Vespers service, and this service will be a quiet and reflective time for those who are struggling with things, both small and large, that are making the holiday season extra difficult this year. And please take note today, at 11:45, immediately following the service, our strategic planning task force has been working hard and are ready to unveil the results of the congregational survey from earlier this fall. I know you want to hear it, so please come and hear the interesting results they have to share. Grab your cup of coffee downstairs and meet back here in the sanctuary for a half-hour presentation. And now it's time to greet one another. I'm going to invite you to take a couple of minutes to greet those around you, especially if they're new to you. And if you're watching the service online, please feel free to participate in the chat. And the question we invite you to ask one another is, what are you celebrating in your life this holiday season? Talk to two or three people if you can. And we'll come back out with our opening hymn.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Nora up to light the chalice. Good morning. I'm the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I'm helping out with the service today. So we light the chalice at the start of our service as a symbolic act to create a sacred space for worship, to enjoy the warmth of our community, and to celebrate the light of reason and the pursuit of understanding. We will now share our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors. And I would now like to invite Hazel up to offer our call to worship opening reading.
Winter Poem by Nikki Giovanni. Once a snowflake fell on my brow, and I loved it so much, and I kissed it, and it was happy, and called its cousins and brothers. And a web of snow engulfed me then. I reached to love them all, and I squeezed them, and they became a spring rain, and I stood perfectly still and was a flower.
I would like to invite Izzy up to do our time for all ages. And children need to stay where they are because we are full today.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. My name's Izzy. Sometimes people call me Liz. I'm the director of religious education here at WOOF, and my pronouns are creative. Today I have a folk tale from West Africa that I'd like to share called The Poor Woman and the Rich Woman. So there was a poor woman who lived in the village, and her daughter made soap. And they would collect the palms out of the trees in their yard, and they would use that to make soap. And then once a week, people would come by their house and buy the soap from them. And that's how they made their living. And one week, they gathered up all the palms, and they made their soap, and nobody came to buy their soap. And the next week, nobody came to buy their soap. And they didn't have any money to get any food. And they started to feel really scared and sad, and they were getting hungrier. And since they had to spend most of their time making soap to earn money to get food, they didn't have a whole lot of friends, but they knew that down the road was a rich woman who had 7 daughters and a big house. And so they went and knocked on their door and asked them if they could spare any food or any money. And the rich woman and her daughters looked at the poor woman and laughed. And they said, "Why would we give you anything? You can't give us anything in return." Because that's how they thought about the world. That's how they had gotten so wealthy. And the poor woman and her daughter cried and begged. And the rich woman and her daughters laughed and kicked them out. So the poor woman and her daughter went home and despaired, and they were so hungry they were too tired to make soap. But the next day, they got a knock on their door, and the poor woman's sister came to visit. And she had brought them food, and she bought some soap from them. And so they felt better. They had received kindness from their family. They were no longer feeling hungry. And the woman and her daughter had money. They could buy food. They could feel stronger and more energetic to harvest more palm, to make more soap, to continue on with their lives. And so one day, they went out and they harvested all the palms off of their property. And they were inside making soap, and they heard a noise outside. And they opened the door, and all of the rich woman's daughters were climbing the trees and trying to get palms, but they had already harvested all the palms, so there were no palms to take. And the poor woman said, "What are you doing?" And the rich woman's daughters said, "We need palms to take to the apothecary to make a medicine to give to our mother because she's sick and dying, and the only thing that will save her are palms." And the poor woman said, "Well, you won't find any on the tree. I have them all in my house." And they said, they begged her. They said, "Please give us palms so we can go to heal our mother who's sick and dying." And the poor woman said, "I'll give you palms if you give me half of your wealth." And the rich woman's daughters at first refused. And they cried, thinking of their mother passing. And they begged the poor woman and her daughter, "Please, please give us palms." And the poor woman said, "I will, for half of your wealth." And the rich woman's daughters had to make a choice. They had to decide between their inheritance and their security and the wealth that their mother had created for them to live their lavish lifestyle. They had to choose between that and buying the palms so that their mother could have medicine so she could get well again. And so they agreed. They agreed to give her half of their wealth to take the palms, to go to the apothecary and make medicine. And when they presented the poor woman with the money, she said, "You can have the palms. I don't want your money." Because that's how she thought of the world. For her, it was not about giving and taking. It was about sharing what she had, even if it was very little. And when we look at the things that we have, when we look into our neighbor's bowls, we shouldn't be thinking, "Do they have more than I have? Do they have something they could give back to me?" Instead, we should be looking in their bowls and thinking, "Do they have anything at all? And how can I help fill their bowls and their cups and help sustain them?" Because we're all part of the community. We're all human beings together trying to create something lovely. So that is sort of the lesson we're that is our through lesson for the month in religious education with the kids. We're thinking about how can we take the things that we have and give them back to the world, to make the world a better place. So this month, the kids are going to be having a fundraiser for the Oregon Humane Society. Today, they're going out, and they're going to tap some maple trees to get some maple syrup. If we're lucky, we might have a little bit for a pancake breakfast. And next month, we'll be helping with the Wolf Sock Drive that we do every year. And the kids chose that as their charity for the month. So, and I just want to say that, like, that comes so naturally to them, right? They don't think about it because kids don't, they don't really have much anyway. And so thinking about what to give feels easy, and I hope that even when it's not the holiday season, that it starts to feel easy for all of you too. So now, as you are willing or able, we will form archways across the aisles and send the kids off to their classroom.
Sweet Darkness by David White. When your eyes are tired, the world is tired also. When your vision has gone, no part of the world can find you. Time to go into the dark where the night has eyes to recognize its own. There you can be sure that you are not beyond love. The dark will be your womb tonight. The night will give you a horizon farther than you can see. You must learn one thing. The world was made for you to be free in. Give up all other worlds except to the one you belong to. Sometimes it takes darkness and the sweet confinement of your own aloneness to learn that anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you.
It is good to be grateful when suffering presses against us, whether that is caused simply by the oppression of gray days or more painful physical and emotional struggles, or the challenges small and large in our relationships. When we look for and then attend to what we are grateful for, these things act as small rays of warmth and sunshine that soothe us and remind us that good and joy still exist during difficult times. So take a moment to consider three things that you are grateful for today. If you are so inspired, speak them aloud into the sanctuary so we can appreciate them too. If you do not wish to speak, hold what you are grateful for close to your heart. So today is the third Sunday, and thus a Donate the Basket service. Our donation this morning will be to Respond to Racism is a local group in Lake Oswego. For years, the city did what it could to keep the city white. Into the 1970s, housing contracts did not allow people to sell their homes to black people and other people of color. Lake Oswego has been well known for racism over the years. I live in Mountain Park, which is in Lake Oswego. And I was warned not to buy that condo since my daughter is black. But it was the cheapest, nicest condo available while I was searching. And my daughter was going to attend school in the Portland public schools anyway. Fortunately for me, a black man lived next door. I became friends with a Moroccan neighbor, and another neighbor wore a hijab. In other parts of the city, black people with higher incomes moved into the lovely, expansive homes near downtown and near the lake and other exquisite neighborhoods in Lake Oswego, even though it was known for racism. Then black neighbors and their allies found each other, and together they are using educations, forums with leaders, advocacy, and visibility to respond to racism in the community and transform it. So please give generously this morning to the local effort. It is a hope for us all in difficult times. I now invite forward the hosts. Let us now say our affirmation of giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so we may learn from the generosity of others. Today, and in the next couple of weeks, people will celebrate the return of the sun and the birth of a child, the miracle of a lighted lamp, and the strength and culture of black people. All celebrate what is best about human existence, our capacity to feel hope and express love, even during challenging times. It is both a remembering and a commitment to discover hope where hope has been extinguished. It is a remembering and a commitment to hope that comes with the predictability of the season, of children, the possibility of winning over empire, even when it is very strong, and the strength of oppressed people to create meaningful lives. Light and love would matter very little if there were not difficult times where we struggled and we overcame. The season reminds us of the possibilities of what is best in human beings. Sometimes Unitarian Universalists pull away from the religious imagery and stories of these times. I know some faiths take the stories literally, and their sense of meaning can be foreign, filled with words of miracles and supernatural activity. However, liberal and moderate faiths of all sorts do not take these stories literally, but as metaphors pointing to truth. In our tradition, the miracles of Scripture are not read as supernatural forces acting in the world, but as metaphors and markers in the story that say, notice this part, this is the important part. Pay attention. Pay attention to the possibilities of children and of all people to grow into adulthood and change the way we experience life. Of the natural world that holds us and feeds us, and the possibility of oppressed people at all times to overcome. Pay attention, these stories say, to these truths. These stories of the human experience are told extravagantly with miracles and joy, and they're told over and over so we will remember the message. Because human beings, we forget so easily this large truth that love and hope are real. And this leads us into our particular tradition of joys and sorrows. Week in and week out, we remember that life can be so good and so precious, and at the very same time be so difficult and so full of pain. Life is both. Whatever now will happen, though, shall pass, both the good and the hard. We remember in this community that everything flows, everything changes. Together we both celebrate joys with one another and care so that we can all make it through the struggles of our lives. We will now do our practice of joys and sorrows. I invite you to come down this aisle and come this way and drop a stone into the water for the joys or sorrows of your own life. And if you wish to say a sentence about the joy or sorrow that is on your heart, I will be holding the microphone so that you can share those with this community.
I just got back from a week in San Francisco where frontline hotel workers have been on strike for 3 months for better health care benefits. For context, the CEO of Marriott made $22 million last year.
District teacher working without a contract, hoping that gets resolved.
I have a lot of joy in me still this morning from how cute my dog looks in his jacket when I walk in. I just want to say how proud I am of my nephew who struggled in school, hated school, graduated yesterday from Colorado State University as outstanding history person in the history department.
I just want to express gratitude to everybody who held space for me and was hopeful while we waited for a long period of unemployment to end, which it did on Friday.
Place these last stones for all the joys and sorrows that remain in our heart and are held in the wider world.
And now let us sing together. This is When Windows That Are Black and Cold.
Fly and bring not terror, but delight.
I now invite you to take a few moments to spend time in meditation or reflection or prayer, whatever is your tradition. Starlings in Winter by Mary Oliver. Chunky and noisy, but with stars in their black feathers. They spring from the telephone wire, and instantly they are acrobats in the freezing wind. And now in the theater of air, they swing over buildings, dipping and rising. They float like one stippled star that opens, become for a moment fragmented, then closes again. And you watch and you try, but you simply can't imagine how they do it, with no articulated instruction, no pause, only the silent confirmation that they are this notable thing, this wheel of many parts that can rise and spin over and over again, full of gorgeous life. Oh, world, what lessons you prepare us for us, even in the leafless winter, even in this ashy city. I am thinking now of grief and getting past it. I feel my boots trying to leave the ground. I feel my heart pumping hard, and I want to think again of dangerous and noble things. I want to be light and frolicsome. I want to be improbable, beautiful, and afraid of nothing, as though I had wings. Praise Song by Barbara Crocker. Praise the light of late November, the thin sunlight that goes deep in the bones. Praise the crows chattering in the oak trees. Though they are clothed in night, they do not despair. Praise what little there's left, the small boats of milkweed pods, husks, holes, shells, the architecture of trees. Praise the meadow of dried weeds, yarrow, goldenrod, chicory, the remains of summer. Praise the blue sky that hasn't cracked yet. Praise the sun slipping down behind the beech nuts. Praise the quilt of leaves that covers the grass, scarlet oak, sweet gum, sugar maple. Though the darkness gathers, praise our crazy fallen world. It's all we have, and it's never enough.
Thank you.
as we are willing and able to sing our final hymn, 226, People Look East. Until we meet again. We will now have the front people face the back and the back face the front, and we will sing Carry the Flame.